Hello, sorry, I had sipped a sip of iced coffee and then clicked record on my very fancy podcasting equipment and then realized that I couldn't do both in that moment. I had to pick iced coffee or podcast, so I chose iced coffee. No offense, but hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode, I believe, 91. It's the countdown to 100 episodes of the Nobody Asked for This podcast. We have 9 more after this. You know what has always been confusing to me? Like, numbers and time and, like, countdown. Because, okay, you think of it like this. 90 episodes. That means we have 10 left. But it really is closer to 11 because you have to do 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. That's 10. And then the 11th is 100. So it's just something to think about. As I always say, I don't really provide any answers. I just add more questions. And I think that is valid too. You know, everyone has their strengths. Everyone has what they can bring. And I think conflict arises when people with different strengths that maybe don't fit together are forced to get stuff done. But I like to believe that if we were all equally matched, we would just be taking down the world. And I think that is either the dumbest or smartest thing I've ever said on this podcast. And for that, I think I've done my job here. So I'm just going to say thank you all for listening to the Nobody Asked for This podcast. You can go to Podbean. Just kidding. LOL. But I'm coming to you at a different day and time. I normally record the day before this comes out. So that would be Wednesday. The past couple weeks, it has started in the morning. I record the first 15, 20 minutes in the morning and record the last 15, 20 minutes at night. I am smack dab in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. And I think I'm going to do this in one fell swoop. So, okay. With my theme of keeping track of words that, or phrases that I say that I don't know what I mean, I'm going to stop myself right there. I just said one foul swoop, and I don't know what that means. So we're going to Google that. One, is it foul like stink? Like, ugh, it smells foul. Or foul like, I don't really know another definition of foul. One foul. Foul? Like, foul. Like, is there a U? One foul swoop. Here we go. One fell swoop. Okay. One. Let's see what that means. One fell swoop meaning. By episode 300, I'm going to know all of the phrases in the English language. All at one time. Okay, yeah, I know what it means, but, like, why does it mean that? Why do we say one fell swoop? This is just to give bibliography. I went into Google, typed in one fell swoop, and clicked the, you know, there's those, like, boxes, options. This term was used and probably invented by Shakespeare. Probably. That's like when I ordered Taco Bell scratch and sniff wrapping paper for Christmas one year on Amazon. I'm going to call them out. And it never got delivered. But then when I went on the tracking information, it says your package was probably delivered. Like, I'm sorry, what? Like, imagine if you went to checkout and they said, you know, where's your credit card number? And you're going to say, oh, I'm probably going to give it to you. Like, no. They're getting your money for certain and then maybe going to give you your package. Now, I have to say that hasn't happened again. I also don't know if I got a refund. I was too distraught to really look into the whole matter because not only was it Taco Bell wrapping paper, which I had gotten the year previous, but it wasn't scratch and sniff. So I was so excited for the scratch and sniff version of the wrapping paper. And I saved it graciously for about 5 years. I think it ran out a few years ago. Like 3 years ago, which is probably 4 years after I ordered it. Like I really was saving it, but it wasn't scratch and sniff. So I had to, you know, obviously take matters into my own hands and just order Taco Bell, put my wrapping paper and then the fresh Taco Bell in the same room, let really the smell absorb, which doesn't take as long as you would think. And yeah, bada bing, bada boom. So I guess we all really won. But to get back to One Fell Swoop, this term was used and probably invented by Shakespeare in Macbeth, where the playwright likens the murder of Macduff's wife and children to a hawk swooping down on defenseless prey. Did anyone get that? I did not. I feel like I'm in English class once again. I need that book that is like technically two books. One half of the book is Shakespeare, and then the other half of the book is explaining Shakespeare, which, can I just say, we all talk about, oh, Shakespeare, he's the best. He does, you know, whatever he is. His English language is whatever. I don't really know what I'm saying, but you know what I mean? Like, he's so praised. But if we need a whole book, and probably multiple books. I just got the ones that they recommended, the English teacher always recommended that you got, like the, I can't remember what it's called, the Cole's Notes or whatever. But if you need, like, if the bookstore can have a full section of books explaining your books, maybe you're not that good of a writer. Like, have we ever thought about that? If you need a book explaining how to read a book properly, maybe the original author, in this case, Bill Shakey, could have written it a bit better. And also, we always attack, like, I don't know when, what were Bill Shakespeare's years of operation? William Shakespeare birth and death date. Let's see. Okay, so he died in 1616, angel numbers. So someone who passed in 1616, one thing about me that you should know is I can never do the math of like how many years ago something was. Like, I know we're in 2024 at the time of recording, but I couldn't tell you, like, if you gave me like 1700s, is that 300 years ago or is that 3000 years ago? I'm pretty sure if we're in the 2000s of years, it can't be 3000. So it's got to be 300. But like 1770, it sounds so much further ago than, like, what is that? 250 years. So 1616, that would mean when it was 2016, we're going to do live math. When it was 2016, that would be the 400th anniversary of his passing, which would mean that we've now added 8 years to that. So he died 408 years ago. But back to my other point, like, if you would ask me how long ago did Shakespeare live, I probably would have said thousands of years ago, which is definitely a me problem. I don't know if this is anyone else, but I don't want to implicate anyone else into my, you know, maybe lack of numerical knowledge. That can be a contender for the title of this episode, lack of numerical knowledge. But either way, how the heck are we supposed to know what Bill Shakespeare, who wrote every word he ever wrote before the year 1616, because that's when he passed. So how are we supposed to know how someone who was writing plays in the 1500s, like, how are we supposed to know what he meant? Because it was always like, in the English test, it would be like, what did Shakespeare mean when he made this dress blue or something? Or when he made, you know, or when he made Macbeth kill, I don't even know. I've obviously read his plays, and by read his plays, I mean Googled what happened. Maybe seen a couple movie adaptations, stuff like that. But how are we supposed to know that that's what he meant? Did he say that? Like, we really could just be overhyping this guy. Like, we could just be attaching meaning to stuff that he didn't mean for there to be. Meaningless meaning. Meaning with no means. Refried beans. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little suspicious. Like, unless Bill Shakespeare floats from above and says, like, yes, that dagger symbolized whatever the heck. I literally can't even think of an example of something where people say that, you know, something Shakespeare wrote actually meant that. But regardless, I'm a little confused. I think we might be overhyped. I think it might be time to move on to someone who we can ask, you know, what did you mean by this? I'm also just, and again, I realize this is probably the third confession I've made on this podcast of me just being like, listen, like, where the subtext is, listen, I'm not that smart, which I'll accept that in some ways I'm not. But like, I'm just not someone that thinks like that. I'm not like good at deciphering or or figuring out cracking a code. I'd be terrible in any sort of like strategic game show or like Big Brother or Survivor. I would not survive. I couldn't do Survivor. And I've talked about this before. You cannot pay me to do Amazing Race. You cannot pay me. I think you can win $1 million if you win. Keep it. If you said, listen, I'll give you $1 million. If a producer of The Amazing Race hears the 91st episode of the Nobody Asked for This podcast and for some reason thinks, got to get this guy on season 807 of The Amazing Race and calls me up right now. If my podcast recording on my fancy podcast microphone, aka my telephone, pauses the recording so that a producer of The Amazing Race can contact me via cellular tower, and I answer and I say hello, and they say, hi, this is the producer of The Amazing Race. We will give you $1 million if you just to participate, and then you could win an additional $1 million. I would say, new phone, who dis? I have no interest in doing The Amazing Race because people are always like, yes, I like to travel. I want to see the world, which that's all great. I'm down to travel and see the world, which to be fair is a more recent discovery for me. I think if you had asked me 5 years ago, like I'm kind of set where I am, you know, where there's like drive-throughs and, you know, 5G, but I think I would love to travel, you know, obviously the means are, maybe I would need to, you know, get a second job, but I would love to travel if given the opportunity, but I do not want that opportunity to be on The Amazing Race because you're not traveling. You're just sitting in the airport, sleeping on the airport floor. It's like the worst part of traveling. And then you got to sit. I don't know if anyone watches The Amazing Race, which I haven't watched a full season, but I've obviously seen it. Anytime you're in a car, you have to sit on the same side so that the camera can be, like, I think they put the camera, like, on the passenger seat so it can get the driver and the person behind you. And that alone, I'm out. It's just not going to work. And I also think you need to know how to drive the car with, like, a manual car, which I'm, you know, barely passing by with automatic. So I'm going to leave The Amazing Race to The Amazing Racers. Also, not a fan of running. I only run if I'm being chased. It's a policy I stand by. It's a policy that I have thrived by. And it's never gotten me in trouble yet. So only run if you're being chased. Regardless, what I meant to say was I'm sitting here on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday. I'm sipping a rather, it's iced coffee, but it's actually pretty good. I think this is one of the first times I've been able to, you know, do you know how they always say when you buy coffee or like on the bag of coffee, it'll say like notes of chocolate and cinnamon. I never taste any of that. Now it could be because I've had COVID for 2 years. Well, I haven't had it for 2 years, but I got COVID. Was I podcasting when I got COVID? Obviously I use the term podcasting loosely. But I don't know. I don't think I was. I think it was right before. I think a couple months before I started. So like 90, maybe like 103 weeks ago, I had COVID. See, that was me doing quick math from like, if we're 91 weeks from starting, like a few months is maybe like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. There you go. Maybe closer to 100 weeks. Anyway, I got COVID and I swear I have not been able to taste as well since, which will lead into something I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But for now, all I'm saying is I'm tasting notes of coffee. So I don't know if the time limit on my loss of COVID taste and smell is heightened or lifted, but that would be pretty exciting. Because I'm sipping this coffee and I'm tasting some cinnamon. Also, I really realized that for a while, I've always said, I won't, you know, bore everybody with my, you know, my iced coffee debate that I've talked about probably 7 or 8 times in the last year, from episode 50 to episode 91 of the Nobody Asked for This podcast. But I've always said getting an iced coffee is no different than getting a Coke at a drive-thru, like at a restaurant, because it's just liquid and ice, you know? But I realized that I hadn't really got too many iced coffees in the last couple months. And then I realized, like, oh, probably because it's cold outside. So I've started to get more iced coffees. And I can't remember why I wanted to tell you that. But, I'm drinking a delightful iced coffee midday on a Tuesday. And I'm feeling good. And I'm so on top of things that I, like I said, I'm recording this the day before, which probably has not happened since episode one of the Nobody Asked For This podcast, which hilariously enough was recorded, I believe, over a week, maybe 2 weeks before it actually came out. And it took me about 6 or 7 hours to edit. And I think I did some sort of like volume control software. I was getting like all the free trials for all this like DIY, make your podcast, stuff like that. I listened to it probably 6 or 7 times. If I changed one thing, I would go back and listen to the whole thing again. I edited it like they were editing Avatar 2 through 5, which is why I think they're taking about 6 years each. Which I actually understand. If you or someone you know is part of the Avatar editing team, I just want to apologize for complaining for how long your movies are taking, because I get it now. I get editing, it's no small feat. It's no, you know, just slap it together. Although maybe it is, because since episode one, or no, maybe since episode 3 or 4, I have recorded all of these episodes. No, maybe episode 10. Since episode 10, I've recorded all of the episodes just directly into my phone, mere hours before it comes out. I don't edit. I like to call it a live edit. I'll click the, no one asked to know how I do this, but I have time to fill, so I'm going to talk about it. I click record, talk, as you're hearing, and then every once in a while, I'll pause if I have to get a snack, or if, you know, a sip of iced coffee is taking longer, and it's just too long of a pause, and then I'll click play again, and that just works more with my lifestyle. It works more with my work ethic. As I've talked about before, I believe I am an inherently lazy person who is, you know, just trying to make it. Aren't we all? You know? Again, it goes back to the thing of strengths. Let's use our strengths. My strengths are, you know, iced coffee and not editing. One day, you know, there might be someone whose strengths are hot coffee and, you know, sitting in front of the computer for 8 hours editing a 91st episode of a podcast that no one listens to. I don't know. You know, we're all different. See, the only problem with how I do these podcasts is sometimes I do stuff like what I just did, which is get so far away from what I was talking about initially that I can't find my way back. So I'm just going to pivot. I mentioned earlier I was having some COVID, not brain fog, COVID loss of taste and smell for about 2 years. And that came to a head yesterday because I found in the store my next limited edition. I wouldn't call it an obsession. I would call it a hobby. Anytime something in the store says limited edition, I immediately freak out. I get nervous. I feel like I have to buy them all. I'll buy one and then make a plan of when the next time I'm going to go to the store and buy it is, if I indeed like the product. I don't know what that says about me. If anyone is a trained clinician, is that a word? Psychiatrist, psychologist, I don't fully know the difference, even though I do have a psychology degree, as well as an English degree, but you wouldn't know it from my first 10 minutes talking about Shakespeare and how I don't understand anything. But all I know for sure is that anytime something is limited edition, I need to buy all of it. And that happened the other day when I was in the store and I saw that Goldfish, like the Goldfish crackers, have a, again, limited edition Frank's Red Hot sauce, Goldfish, like seasoning. It's not a hot sauce. It's like the flavor of Frank's Red Hot was somehow powdered, which I don't want to know. I don't want to be involved in that process. I just want to eat it. And then the powder was sprinkled over Goldfish crackers. Now, I've always loved Goldfish crackers, but I have been known to add my own seasoning to them because sometimes, like, yeah, like the regular, like the cheddar flavor is good, which I found this out pretty recently. Original Goldfish, like Goldfish, I guess, like plain, so you would call, because they have so many flavors now. They have pizza, they have like extreme cheddar, they have like huge ones, they have smaller ones, they have pretzels. The pretzels are pretty good. But the original flavor is like plain. Like the original flavor isn't cheese, it's like plain, which I guess is you're supposed to put them in soup, which is why they're fish, because they're like swimming in the soup. If this is old news to anybody, I apologize, but I found this out like recently-ish, especially considering the amount of time that I've been eating goldfish crackers. But every once in a while, I'll be, you know, just eating the regular, or what I thought were the original ones, but are actually just, you know, just the cheddar version. I'll go over to the spice cabinet and I'll maybe get some, you know, maybe some paprika or like a garlic powder or something to just, you know, give it a little bit of taste. Old Bay is good because obviously fish seasoning, duh. And the problem is I'm too lazy to go through the whole process of like melting butter and like pouring the butter and then maybe even getting a sheet pan and then mixing all the seasoning and then baking it for a few minutes. I'm definitely not doing that. I'm getting a bowl. I'm getting the goldfish crackers. I'm getting loose seasoning and just, and then we'll try and like scoop up the like Old Bay and then eat it all as one. Now I don't have to do that because they have, I guess I don't have to do it for the next month or so, or however long they're planning to, however limited this edition of the goldfish crackers are, the seasoned ones. But yeah, they're good. So if you see them in the store, I would recommend to get some. And they're not that spicy. But again, are they not that spicy, or can I just not taste anything? Like that is the constant question I ask myself anytime I eat something. I think, is this bad, or can I just not taste? Or like if I cook something, I'm like, does this need salt? I don't know. But I also don't, like, I don't think I ever had great, I just didn't have great taste to start with. So who knows? We will never know. And I just have to be okay with that. Speaking of things I have to just be okay with, the weather. Now, I normally start the show talking about the weather just because I think it's important, you know, just doing an analysis. But I've been through quite a journey the past, okay, what? It's not 48 hours, but what's like a day and a half? Like 36? 24 divided by 12? 12 plus 24? Yeah, 36. The last 36 hours have been a whirlwind because 36 hours ago, okay, let's do the full 48. Screw it. 48 hours ago, there was, I didn't know there was going to be snow. It was colder, but like nothing terrible. I was just living my life. It had, you know, it's obviously March now. Happy March. I think this is the first episode of March, but no snow. And then out of nowhere, boom, snow, like huge flakes snow in March. I'm like, what is happening here? And then the next day I wake up and there's hardly any snow. It had started raining, which, okay, sure. So within 12 hours, it essentially went from blizzard to no snow ever. And now I'm sitting here as I record episode 91 of the Nobody Asked This podcast, and I'm sweating, drinking an iced coffee. So I don't know how I'm supposed to live a balanced life under these sorts of conditions. Like if I'm operating in chaos, how am I supposed to, you know, get anything done? But maybe I'm contradicting myself, because I'm recording this being the 91st episode of the Nobody Asked for This podcast, like a day in advance, but technically 2 days in advance. So maybe I'm smart after all. I actually really think that, you know how when you go to a doctor and you have to fill out like your like initial intake form, and it's like, I don't know, like your medical history or whatever. I believe you have to do that when you go to therapy. I think part of it should be like record 40 minutes of yourself just talking. Record 20 minutes of yourself talking. And I think the stuff that comes out is really fascinating. Like, don't plan anything. Open the voice notes in your phone. Click record and just see what comes out. I'm going to write a book on that. It's going to be like probably more of like a novella. Is it just a novel if it's fake? I think so, right? Okay. What is the definition? You know who would know this? Bill Shakespeare. What? Do you think he went by Bill? Or is he like, were we not calling Williams Bill in the 1600s? I also distinctly remember the first time I realized that Bill was short for William, because I was confused. And I thought, well, if your name is William and you want a nickname, don't you just go by Will? But apparently some people would prefer Bill. I'm still a bit confused, to be honest. Is it like a junior senior type thing? Like maybe you're born, like your dad is Bill, and then you're both born William, but like William Senior, the dad is going to be Bill, and then you're going to be Will. But then when you have a kid, do you graduate to Bill? Like, do you enter Bill-dom? I'm going to Google that. Bill, I can't remember why I started Googling, what the other thing I started Googling was, but that's fine. Bill versus Will. There are many theories on why Bill, and again, just for total transparency, I clicked Bill versus Will on Google, and this is what's coming up in the box. I believe it says it's from www.mentalfloss.com. Don't know what to make of that. Why is Bill short for William? Good question, because I'm asking it. There are many theories on why Bill became a nickname for William. Perfect, just tell me them. The most obvious is that it was part of the Middle Ages trends of letter swapping. Much how Dick is a rhyming nickname for Rick, the name is true of Bill and Will. I'm not really getting it, but why is Bill? Okay, anyway, it seems like there is a long answer, but or like there is an answer, but it's like there's a lot of history and stuff. So maybe I'll record that, or not record that, I'll research that in the off season, you know, between Friday to Tuesday. And then I'll come back and report my findings. I think that's probably better to do. But what was I, when I got onto Google, what was my initial pursuit? I can't remember. Oh, a novel, a novella. Is it just a novel if it's fiction? If it's fiction, let's see. I'm so excited. All novels are fiction, not all fiction is a novel. Okay, so then just tell me novel definition. Because novel is like new, as in the novel coronavirus. Not to bring up COVID again. On which is almost the fourth birthday of COVID. Okay. A fictitious, this is from the Oxford Dictionary, I think. Novel. Two syllables. First word. A fictitious prose narrative of... Okay, wait. I added a comma when there wasn't. A fictitious prose narrative of book length, typically representing character and action with some degree of realism. Huh? I don't know. But then... So a book, essentially. Okay. I know that other source told us that it didn't have to be fake to be a novel, or that not all fiction was a novel, but that doesn't make sense for my fictitious narrative. So I'm just going to say that it's a book. A book that's fake is a novel. With some sort of like a story, you know? Oh boy. Anyway, well, I wish I could say... Have a great weekend and mean it a little bit more. But because I'm such an organized, really, you know, have my stuff together this week, I'm about really 2 days further from the weekend. Normally when I record this, I've completed Wednesday. And that's just not the case. I haven't even completed Tuesday. So I'm going to say it because by the time you hear it, it'll be a bit closer to the weekend. But just know that, like, if it sounds like I'm sort of, like, phoning it in and, like, I don't actually wish you a good weekend, it's not that I don't. It's just because, you know, I've just only gotten over Monday. So I'm going to say it again, full disclaimer. I hope you have a great weekend wherever you find yourself. Hey, maybe you're listening to this and it is a Friday night, but it's Friday of, you know, March 2032. I don't know. Could be. I'm going to finish my iced coffee. I'm going to finish sweating because for some reason it was snowing not 36 hours ago, but I'm hot and I feel like my phone's overheating. again, how am I supposed to exist in this chaos? I don't know. I don't know how I do it. I just don't. So resilient. But if you wouldn't mind telling people to listen. I don't ever say this. So yeah, tell people to listen. If you're like, oh, this is a cool show, tell other people to listen. Or I mean, sorry, I don't mean to yell at you. Do whatever feels right. Do whatever feels comfortable. But consider doing that. You can tell them to go to podcastnobodyaskedforthis.podbean.com. On there, they can find... I'm going to start saying they can find because, like, I don't have to tell you what to do if you're listening to this. You know what I mean? On there, anyone that you're recommending the show to can find the links to listen wherever they listen to podcasts. If that's Apple, if that's Spotify. I don't know. I thought apparently there's other places. Samsung podcasts. Hey, whatever works. YouTube. On YouTube. And yeah. I hope everyone has a splendid weekend. Rest of your week. And I will see you all next time. Thank you for listening. If you listened to this, I really appreciate it. Even if you didn't. Even if you gave me like a minute. I appreciate the minute. I appreciate your time. And yeah. Take care. Bye.